Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You are listening to the 23 Personnel Podcast, where food and sports clash at the goal line. Here are your hosts, Spencer and Michael.
All right, everybody, welcome back to a post-game instant reaction podcast for the 23 Personnel Podcast. I'm your host, Spencer, joined by several individuals. Let's go around the table and introduce ourselves. Start over here to my right with...
Michael, the guy that usually hosts with Spencer. I'm just over here. We're at my house. We're at HQ North. We had some pork butt and some pecans, so this is the butts and nuts party, and this is the after party. And I'm just glad that y'all are here. It's a good reason to have an after party, and I guess I'll pass on to the next person to my right to introduce themselves.
That almost sounded like an award speech right there. I want to thank everyone who attended tonight's party. It was a great get-together.
So good.
Hey, this is Chad HD. I'm just a guy who's sitting at a table talking about sports right now. Glad to be here.
Just a
Thanks
guy.
For the invite.
Yeah, Mike, your resident's a TTU pessimist, so I'm feeling pretty good right now.
Hey,
I'm more than happy to be wrong.
That's typically my role.
Well, I want that role too.
Okay.
I'm just here to drop hot takes. That's all. That's all I'm going to do. They're not even going to be tech-related hot takes. I'm just going to drop movie hot takes the whole time. This is Keith, the resident optimist, apparently.
You are the only one
that picked the Red Raiders to win this game.
And cover.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Hey, got to go all in.
Well, I like how we both pointed that out, but you can't do one without doing the other.
That's right.
It's been a long
evening. I wasn't going to drop that on you. Cook us dinner.
There's been some Modelo.
Some
beers have happened.
Yeah, beers have happened. They've shown up. They've come and gone.
So we are recording minutes after the conclusion of the Texas Tech Oklahoma State game, where the Red Raiders won 41-17. Who saw that coming?
I did.
Keith, apparently.
Right.
The after calling Tech to beat Houston by 2 scores, I can pretty much never be wrong again. So it's just automatic.
Yeah,
it's a gift.
Sorry, I'm trying to pull up our game, and like it's been buried since it's no longer live.
Prepare there, Spencer.
Yeah,
I was getting everything else prepared, guys.
You got a command center over
there
going on.
Here we go. Nope.
What would you like to discuss? I've got it pulled up.
Let's start with the offense.
Yep.
There were some ball control there, guys.
Did pretty good. Third down efficiency, 9 for 14. That's not too shabby. Rush for 224, pass for 397, 621 total. Two interceptions thrown. Slight hiccup on the evening. Bowman finally got his first couple of picks.
Yeah, but although I think the fast one wasn't really his fault.
No.
It was a heck of a play by AJ Green.
That was an unreal play, getting that toe in, that left toe in,
it
just
really was.
Barely in.
Yeah, it's just weird to think that's statistically his worst game so far, and he still played lights out.
Yeah, so he was 35 of 46 or 47, which was, I think we calculated like 75% completion. Threw for just under 400 yards, two touchdowns, two interceptions. Like you were saying, one of the interceptions could be, I guess, kind of written off as a great defensive play. The other one was more of a overthrew, a wide open receiver over the middle. Typically, you don't get away with those.
Well, and on top of the interceptions, it was the first time that you've really seen anybody get after him this year. Like Houston got the first sack of the season against him, but Bowman lost 26 yards on 4 carries this game. So we had heard about that Oklahoma defensive line. They were leading the nation with 16.5 sacks coming into the game, I believe. And then here they are getting after Bowman, and you force a couple turnovers, and still Texas Tech really just rolls and makes – all the plays when they need to on both sides of the ball. And so you just have to really be bolstered when you see them do this kind of stuff.
So when you say roll, let's talk about that second half performance from the defense. They pitched a shutout. Oklahoma State did not score in the second half.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing considering I think they scored a touchdown like halfway through the first, and it seemed like for a second it could be one of these.
We were groaning.
Yeah. It could be one of these like 40 to 30 games, something like that. But they came in the second half. I'm not sure what did it, but we just had all the momentum.
Absolutely. I agree. And Jordan Brooks led the way, 6 total tackles, 5 solo, 2.5 for loss.
Yeah, and I think that big play he made in that fourth down kind of really did it, even though Tech didn't score the next possession. Like, they were trying to get a fourth down, trying to tie the game, and Brooks just ended that drive right.
Right.
There.
And you're forcing a turnover on downs on a team that is known for offense as much as you are. You know, certainly in the time that you have been a little bit down, they have definitely been prolific. Maybe not the same this year, a little more pro style, a little less air raid style, but still a team that has done some big things, and last week in particular against Boise State. But it's nice to see your linebacking core dominate the top of that defensive stat column with a lot of tackles and tackles for loss and QB hurries, and then you had 2 sacks on the day as well.
So what you're saying is we want Boise. That's what we discussed earlier.
I don't know.
Do you think we can – Is it would the blue field, would that be kind of a disadvantage to the Red Raiders?
I don't care about the blue field. I want someone that beats Ole Miss that's not Bama. So however that works out, get me transitive beats wins over Ole Miss. That's what I need.
Maybe first half Kent State. We can get the team that came out in the first half or the first quarter.
The pre-rain delay Kent State.
Yeah, pre-rain delay.
Golden flashes.
So that defense, you're talking about the Oklahoma State offense for a second. Taylor Cornelius, not known as a prolific passer, finished the day sub 50% completion.
Yeah, the only thing worse than his completion percentage was his hairline.
Oh, it was so bad.
He did have a 5 hit. I mean, it was serious.
I'm a bald man myself, and that kind of hurts. But it is true.
But that's by choice. He's still growing his hair out.
Yeah, he could do the.
He's still hanging on.
Could go the path of the Dollar Shave Club like I have.
Like, it's almost like
he's hanging on.
Dana Holgorsen.
He could probably get a skull going.
And let's talk about Dana Holgorsen still wearing a visor. That makes no sense to me.
I mean, West Virginia is like the new A&M of the Big 12.
There's lots
of cargo shorts and visors around there.
Yeah, but it just doesn't. The only place he has hair is underneath the visor. So I'm not sure what this is doing.
Ventilation still matters, I guess.
Ventilation is key. That's why I still buy mesh caps.
So Cornelius, and not his forehead.
Fashion blog.
UConn Cornelius? Like
Taylor
Christmas
Cornelius.
Time?
No, oh, okay. 258 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. Your defense also gave up 128 yards on the ground, so I can't do math really quickly. That's what, 380? Ooh.
Math on
total offense
radio.
That you gave up?
Yeah, roughly so.
Sure.
But the thing is, and not one guy dominated. Like, I can't even say who their top receiver would be from this game just from not looking at the stats.
It was Wallace. He had 7 receptions for 123 yards with a long of 31. But really, they only had one receiving touchdown to King, and that was his only catch of the day.
Yeah.
And then – No, I was going to say, and if you look at the rushing totals, of course, Justice Hill was the guy you were worried about. He gained 111 yards on 12 carries, 1 touchdown. So, you know.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Not surprisingly, he did some damage against you, but I mean, when you give up 128 total rushing yards to a team that has traditionally or in the past has put up 250 plus on you pretty easily, you were obviously doing pretty well. You were getting after Cornelius enough to make him uncomfortable. You were forcing him to throw downfield, which we saw he's not good at all. I think he completed one of those passes. He threw some Hail Mary-type back shoulder fades that I think he completed one of those, too. So you were able to kind of enforce your will on defense. Like I said, giving up 380 yards on offense, you're not saying, like, your defense was dominant in any stretch. But for Oklahoma State, a ranked opponent at home, you held them to 17 total points.
Yep.
And I think the big key to that is what you mentioned was the defensive line. Like, the running game really didn't really get going, and so they had to throw the ball some, and the line was getting there quick enough where he couldn't just, you know, sit back and do what he wanted.
Well, and comparatively, when you talk about running game, so you look at them, they had Justice Hill had 12 carries for 111 yards. That's, I mean, better than a 9-yard average. He had a touchdown. That's a good day, you know.
Yeah, that's really good.
But he's a really good running back. Mm-hmm. You know, he's better than average. And your leading tacklers were all linebackers, as they should be in that situation. But then when you look at Texas Tech's day, DeMarcus Felton, 12 carries, 121 yards, two touchdowns, and then Sir Roderick Thomas chipping in another touchdown, 66 yards. Henry with another 65 yards. You combine for 224 yards on the day. There's some negatives there from some passes that lost yardage in Bowman. But would you like to venture a guess who the Oklahoma State leading tackler was?
Was it a safety?
It was. It was a freshman safety. I bet you have a box score in front of you.
I do, but I wasn't looking
at that. His name is Jarek Bernard, and he had 14 tackles, 13 by himself. So you're really hanging your secondary out to dry if you're getting that many tackles at a safety position. That guy is out there trying to make some plays, and that means you're getting into their secondary a lot.
Well, and I think another impressive thing for the Texas Tech defense is you didn't have a lot of takeaways. You know, and that's something that in the past a lot of folks have said, if you're Texas Tech and you're going to beat a team like Oklahoma State, like a future West Virginia, you've got to have all these takeaways. You've got to get all these interceptions. Texas Tech didn't have to do that tonight. It was good when they did get that, did get a couple of takeaways, but you didn't have to have those tonight. They were just that good on defense.
Yeah, on defense you had the one interception. You had a turnover on downs.
Like a punt, right?
Yeah, and you had a turnover and downs, and the other turnover on the stat sheet was a muffed punt.
Right, that you recovered. But, hey, give credit for that interception. Freshman Adrian Fry jumping in again. He was big with two interceptions against Lamar. One was a pick six, and he caused the tip that gave another interception to Vontae Dorsey in that Lamar game. Here he is again playing, you know, an increased role, obviously, against your Big 12 opener, and he had an interception again here. Your only defensive turnover of the day.
Yeah, I think we have DeMarcus Fields that one side. I think all of us agreed that he kind of locked that position down. But with Morgan out, we didn't really have another cornerback. So maybe Fry can be that guy that steps in and plays well.
Hey, does anybody know how many punts we had today?
Two. And they were good punts.
They were very good punts. And one resulted in – that was the muff, wasn't it?
No, one was the muff. One was the 99-yard killer drive.
Crazy. Oh man, that we should have.
Well, it wasn't just 99; it was like 99 and a half.
Actually, it was 99 3/4.
Kept going half the distance to the goal. That's right. If you half something, I think you can half something forever.
It can't be perfect.
It will never be.
There's got to be something to make you hang your head and wonder what happened.
But, so, if you consider though, of the 380 yards you gave up, 100 of those came on one drive.
Yeah.
The rest of the day, your defense gave up 207 or 280 yards. It's not bad.
It's not.
I'd take that any day.
Not against an offense that most people are going to say is an elite Big 12 offense year in and year out with consistent coaching and strong playmakers.
Would you think that Cornelius was, air quotes, exposed tonight?
I think a little bit. I mean, Mason Rudolph's been there, it seems like, forever, at least 3 years. And so far, he hasn't really played anybody super great. I think Boise was ranked, but they had a guy suspended, and I don't think maybe they were quite as good. But, yeah, him facing the linebacking core we had, the defensive line that played great, We have the Fields and Johnson in secondary who are pretty decent. This is his first, I think, real test. And he kind of showed that sometimes he doesn't really have the make the right moves.
Yeah, with five QB hurries and two sacks, I mean, you've got Justice Hill. You know he's going to be great. He's a great option there. But you've got to have a quarterback that can stretch the field if you're going to be able to open up, you know, whatever it is they want to do on offense. And he proved under some pressure that he wasn't going to be able to do that. And I don't think that's pressure they've seen. Boise State didn't show up for him. And, you know, their other games, Montana State was their first game, and I don't even remember who they faced in their second game of the season.
South Alabama.
South Alabama, thank you. Faced the Jaguars and just haven't had a test. And so, obviously, Texas Tech brought it and has set a bunch of first-time-since kind of conversations going, you know, and that's a nice thing to see in the Cliff Kingsbury era.
Fourth home game in a row, too, for Oklahoma State.
That's right. Yeah.
To have to finally see – some sort of semblance of competition. I think Boise State could qualify on that level, but to have four home games in a row and then just come crashing down on the fourth one like that. And Mike pointed out earlier, and it's going to be true again next week. Of course, the first week, it definitely is. But before we recorded, Mike pointed out that every team we've played has been undefeated. So that continues on next week, and hopefully we can be their first loss as well. So I don't know. I thought it was a soft schedule. I remember when Spencer and I looked at it before the season started. But to have your fourth home game in September and lose it in this fashion has got to – that's going to make some people at Oklahoma State a little bit frustrated.
Before everybody tweets at us when they listen to this, it wasn't Montana State. They played Missouri State. I remembered.
Oh, okay. Well, it's one of the M states.
Yeah,
that's pretty
right.
Good.
It was a bear. What's that?
Tech plays Montana State next.
That's right, next season.
That's where you got it from.
My sister's on.
That's what it was. I was thinking about next year already. Looking ahead, that's dangerous. You don't want to look ahead.
Okay. Well, looking ahead, let's talk about. does this change anybody's outlook for the season?
I have 4-8, so it's kind of hard to. So this be okay. 3-1 and be like, yeah, they're not doing.
Well,
anything.
Your conversation all that's what your conversation has been, right, Mike? Where are your wins? You look at the schedule. Where are your wins?
I think I had mine at Lamar, Houston, Kansas, and Baylor.
Right, so. And everybody kind of was probably in that world. And then if you were being a little bit more generous, you had Ole Miss on there, and then you were thinking, well, we got to steal a couple. Well, I think you just stole one.
Oh, definitely.
You know, and I think more and more with the way Ole Miss is playing, we're thinking maybe we just legitimately didn't play well in week one in a neutral site against a reasonably good team, but you had an injury and a surprise quarterback and all that. Maybe that's just not who this team was.
Yeah, like maybe the fact that Alan Bowman would have started a game and been prepared for it, maybe would have done better. Mm-hmm. And also there was just a lot of mistakes. Like we had Bonnie miss an open field tackle for a touchdown. Fields fell for a touchdown. Those little things where –
Kickoff return for
a
touchdown.
Yeah, kickoff return for a touchdown. You just fix a little bit of stuff, and
let's
all
not
of a
talk
sudden,
about that
it's
game
a
anymore.
Close game. So even though we lost by 20 that game, it really was not as big a loss as it seemed.
It sure seemed that way at the time.
Oh, yeah, it definitely did.
It just was it was just like the world was coming down at the end of that one.
Yeah, everybody acted like that at the very least.
That's what these instant reactions are for,
that's
man.
Right, yeah. Come on. Well, you guys did a pretty good job that day. I mean – keeping it together.
I was going to say just real quick. There's a definite like heavy sigh as we started like.
I think you look at Bowman and the game that he had tonight. Interceptions are never good, obviously, but he played great, lights out, and the fact that those interceptions never shook him. He came right back out and played well. That gives me, and I think a lot of other people. Who knows if you're going to win? You know, against West Virginia. But the fact that he could go in to Stillwater, you know, against those fans who they're always loud, you know, the fans are right there, you know,
literally right there.
Yeah, literally right there on top
swinging
of
swinging paddles at you,
throwing paddles at you and throwing water bottles at you and everything else. You know, it's one of those where he came back from that, threw touchdown passes, led the team right back down the field. He has to give not only the team, but the fans, everybody, the coaches, a lot of faith in him going into going against West Virginia next week. I mean, that's got to be huge.
And if there was any debate that Carter might come back and take the job, I think that killed him.
Yeah, what about Jet? What about Jet Duffy?
Oh,
anyone else?
Don't we need him? I mean, apparently that's – I think that – and that's a great point, Chad. And that was always kind of the discussion about him. He's a little bit unflappable. He's got that moxie. He's ready to come out and compete. It's not going to bother him. He's going to roll on. he had 46 pass attempts tonight, and we ran 46 rushes. Now, a couple of those were probably hurries and sacks, some of that, but, you know, that's 92 snaps that he handled. Yeah, you had two picks. You add that to the rest of the season, though, and that is really, really nice. Yeah. You know,
and the picks weren't even, like, terrible picks. I mean, the T.J. Vasher one was in the end zone. Yeah.
Oh, that was a circus catch. Absolutely.
And then the first pick was, you know, it was 50 yards downfield, so although it was sucked to turn over, it wasn't like they got the ball in the red zone.
Yeah, I think going into this game, everybody, or at least our questions were, how is Bowman going to handle going on the road for the first time? I think we've seen, like, it's just business as usual, right? Like, he's done so well in the first two games that he started. And I wouldn't say he was all that bad against Ole Miss, but the two games he started before tonight was super solid. He was calm. He was confident.
He's going through his reads. That's something we noticed in the first game. He was basically first read something else because they didn't know the offense that well that started. But, you know, it's this game he starts going through more reads.
Absolutely. And he's not just throwing to one side of the field. He's not just doing, like, the short developing.
So I never got a chance to respond to that because I wasn't on the pod that week. But T.J. Vasher made two great catches in the Ole Miss game. The one that made the highlight reel that came from McLean Carter, and another one that was very similar, but it was two-handed. It came from Alan Bowman, and it was on the right side of the field. So there was a few over there.
I didn't say, like, he never threw it. but
for the most part, I got it.
There were seven more targets to the right side of the field.
For me, when watching these games, we talked about this right before we started recording. I have a little bit, and I know I'm the sunshine pumper, the optimistic guy who's taking the planes, but I just feel like Cliff Kingsbury has also made some strides this season as a coach. You see him coaching on the sidelines. Even Lamar in the final series, he's got second teamers, third teamers around him, and he is firing them up to finish the shutout, to finish that game, to do what they need to do, to get out there and get those reps. He was doing the same thing tonight. He had guys that he was coaching up. He's coaching up Bowman before the last possession, I think it was. I just think that's positive, and I think he's calling some great games.
Yeah, I mean, other than –
No, I'm just going to say it was a huge game for him. Huge game for Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah, I think other than that weird thing where he took a timeout, then a delay game, missed kick, other than that.
Oh, that was so brutal.
that was
just back to some of the most frustrating stuff I would remember from last year, and I'm a huge Kingsbury apologist, so I will just listen to all of this wonderful praise about Kingsbury, but I will have to poke my head in here on the timeout to try to draw someone off sides, and then you don't even pretend like you're going to snap the ball.
Yeah, you never called a cadence at all.
No, and then you kick and miss the field goal. I mean, of course, we were up 34-17 or whatever it was at the time, so it's fine. Yep. All is well, but that was just one of those things that you burn your last timeout with 11 minutes left in the game, and you get nothing for it,
basically. I think the biggest difference is, well, when he first got here, maybe he wasn't quite ready, but last year he's heard about combining getting more excited for the defense. Mm-hmm. This year it seems to be more time management. Like 11 minutes left in the fourth quarter, up 17. Usually old Cliff Kingsbury might have thrown out some. He throws in some run plays, some quick pass plays. Next thing you know, 6 minutes later, we score a touchdown. We're up 24 points with 4 minutes left. During the Houston game, he took a timeout on a fourth down play, turned the ball over, got a minute 50, scored up like 3 seconds left. His time management is starting to get a lot better this year.
Yeah, well, it's been very noticeable.
That last drive tonight, you know, and I made the comment while we were watching the game, maybe it's a little early to worry about burning the clock with 10 or 11 minutes left, and all of a sudden we look up and they burn 5 or 6 minutes in a scoring drive, you know, and they really did manage that clock well. I would definitely agree with that. I was watching that, I agree with, but as you were talking again about that post-timeout action, maybe it was just a matter of not rushing. Maybe you get everybody on the sideline, you say, this is our best move, go in there, we're going to get down to the penalty, don't make a move, don't make any, you know, take any chances with anything, and then we're going to kick, you know. Obviously the miss makes it look worse, otherwise maybe we're saying, hey, that was a genius, great job, great use of a timeout, that's three more points, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I could look at it either way on that. I just feel like if they would have at least tried to snap the ball,
yeah,
or that's acted like they were going to do it, yeah, I think that would make me feel a little bit better about it. But that's such a nitpicky thing on a game where we went on the road
right
as 15-point dogs. I think it was actually 14.5 before kickoff. The line just kept drifting. I think it opened at 10.5 or 11 and just kept drifting and drifting. The money kept moving towards Oklahoma State. So to come away with a commanding victory of 41-17 – beatdown, essentially. I'll call it that, just because I am relishing the fact that we finally beat them for the first time since I was a senior in high school.
I mean, the second half was definitely a beatdown.
I mean, yeah. They were at home.
Yeah, they were at home.
That is not an easy place to play.
I know. They've got paddles and
everything. Their fans sitting on the bench. I mean, angry ones.
I was going to make the point that when you're talking about game management and everything, I think what started this conversation, at least here at the house when we're watching the game, was that timeout they called came out, and then Felton scored on the very next play. We're like, that was a great use of a timeout to regroup.
Right.
And you came out, you executed. Whereas we've seen the past where something like the call a timeout, get a penalty, and miss a field goal type thing has happened in the past. Now, to your point, maybe the plan was, we'll take them jumping off sides if they will. We're not gonna try to mess anything up.
We don't want to risk a false start, and back ourselves up any further than we're hoping to be.
Sure.
I don't know. I was just going to point out something else we talked about during the game. I appreciated also just some growth in Texas Tech, the ability to adjust to the game, to adjust to what the defense is giving you. They weren't giving Wesley and Vasher the chance at circus catches, in the first half. So we went to high, and the running game rumbled, and you got to Austin, who had 7 catches for 69 yards, and Collins. He only had 3 catches, but I remember all of them because they were all big catches. And I think that was something you were – all of a sudden you – and I said this last week, it felt like we were Texas Tech again when we came out and had this big game against Houston and these crazy yards. It felt like we were Texas Tech again today because if one guy's not there, 4 more are available. All of a sudden you're spreading the field again in a way that everybody's a weapon, that we're not just keying in on one guy that can make a play.
Speaking of growth, and I'm probably the only person who does not have the box score up.
Would you like one of these?
That's
phones?
Me. That's
I think he doesn't
do.
Want it.
Yeah. The guy who's unprepared. Penalties for Texas Tech.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Here you go. I'll tell you.
How many?
I think several times tonight we were like flags coming up like, oh, it's a penalty on us, but it wasn't.
We had 3 for 20.
That's amazing.
To 8 for 73 for Oklahoma State.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd be happy with 3 for 20 and a half. And we had it. And yeah, absolutely. That's a great point.
So we just got a notification from CBS Sports. Texas Tech crushes Oklahoma State.
Nice.
Loved it.
Hey, I'll tell you something else we crushed. Since Chad just mentioned the penalties, I went to the team stats. I hadn't looked over there yet. We outpossessed this ball 41 minutes to 18:43.
Good night.
I did not realize that we held on to it that much. I mean, we were
That's
really
how you play football.
We were really forcing some punts quick. I mean, the defense was really making some things happen. Wow.
You were 9 for 14 on third down. They were 3 for 13.
Yes. That'll win a ball game every time. And you were close on your math. They were what was the total yardage there? 386.
386.
Yeah. And we had 621. Texas Tech had 621.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. Very nice. I asked for questions, comments, whatever.
Yeah.
First, we had somebody ask us right there towards the end of the game, I need to know how 23 personnel HQ was holding up. So this was at the end of the game. I responded that we were losing our minds. We were kind
Everyone's
of...
clothed.
I just want to point out something real quick on time of possession. 24 minutes, second half for Texas Tech, 6 minutes for Oklahoma State.
Dang.
That's how you shut down a game and win.
Their longest drive half was 1 minute, 36 seconds.
Good grief.
That's beautiful.
That's a great
That makes my
half.
Little stat guy heart sing right there.
Great half.
I can't believe that. I watched that game, and I still can't believe that was.
It didn't feel that way, and maybe we were just distracted, and we were just like, oh, look.
We're holding up great. We've probably got some meat sweats and a little bit of extra queso floating in us, but we're doing good. We were having a very good evening. I'm surprised my daughter didn't wake up because there was a lot of loud clapping and –
I'm sorry.
I just want to publicly apologize for making.
I was totally
cry
looking
by
at Spencer. Oh, Keith did make her cry, but it was.
It was inadvertent.
No, it was totally inadvertent. She was, I don't even know.
She really, I should say, she needs to get it together. Yeah. My daughter walked over and looked at her and was like, what's wrong with you?
I know.
They're watching ball.
Don't you get it? My daughter's like, no, that's not Spirit. That's not the horse show on Netflix. So I'm not really sure what's going on.
So there's something that we're kind of discussing, then I think we all missed it. But we got it from Jazz at Triforce Shadow. Is Ric Flair now officially a Red Raider? and on the travel roster for all away games, or do you think this was a one-off conference opening game thing?
Yeah, what did y'all figure out what happened? Yeah. We missed something.
I looked it up. I didn't see anything.
I was probably eating too much pulled pork at the time.
I don't remember seeing anything on the broadcast either.
No, I don't either. I'm not sure what we missed.
I didn't see anything. I'm just assuming people saw a lot of the gorilla.
That's what I would
Ric
think.
Flair.
Yeah, and but because a lot of people, I remember on the, I think on the.
Apparently, there's a guy that looks like.
Oh,
Ric
they're
Flair
talking
the
about.
Oh, it's just someone who a doppelganger.
Yeah, he's. Yeah. I'm gonna blank on his name.
Oh,
he's
the sunglasses.
Yeah, he's the director of football operations, if I remember
is that
correctly.
He's been Kenny McVay.
McVay.
Yes, thank you, Tommy.
Yeah.
Tommy McVay. He's been around a very long time. He's a beloved guy in that football building. Yeah,
yeah, I think so, he's known a lot for getting Welker to Lubbock too.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a fixture in Texas Tech athletics. So if that's what they're talking about, he is not Ric Flair.
Okay,
but he does not need to be someone else. Tommy McVay is a.
We will suppress guy. All woos from this this point forward.
So there's somebody else. I'm blanking on his name. It was the strength coach. What's his name?
Rusty Witt.
So yeah. He was like Kingsbury's handler in this game. He was like his shadow. Also wearing sunglasses at night.
Oh. Can I just say that I can
go kicked for. Off during the day?
Can I just say that one time I met the guy that sings that song, Corey Hart. I wear my sunglasses at night.
So I can.
It was great.
So I can?
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, Rusty, I noticed that after the game, after the handshake, Rusty Witt kind of walked Cliff off the – he was filling in for the Texas Rangers. He was kind of walking off the field as his security. I would not mess with Rusty Witt. That would probably be a smart choice by anybody that wants to know
him. Wasn't the guy of the Army, right?
What's that?
Wasn't he
I believe he
Army?
Was Special
he was
Forces.
Yeah, he was Special Forces.
Yeah, I wouldn't have missed if any of those guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, so
he also was famous in coming to Tech for headbutting a player at his previous job bareheaded.
Yeah, there's
a player had a
screenshot
on.
With blood running
down
his face.
The player had a helmet on, so he's pretty fired up. I mean, we've said before in our Slack chat, you know, the strength and conditioning coach is kind of the culture in chief man, you know, of football teams. And so I've noticed that with Rusty Witt. He's always much closer to the head coach than any other strength and conditioning coach. He's down there firing guys up and keeping guys motivated and keeping them in the game. And he's coaching more than what you may think, but their role is bigger than I think we realize.
So I don't know if anybody listened to the Oklahoma State podcast that I did the interview for. I actually mentioned one of our defensive improvements was on conditioning and all that kind of in depth. Obviously, a game like with Lamar being able to finish out the shutout, and then tonight where they had 6 minutes of possession the second half and a shutout. The Texas Tech defense is not a team or a unit that fades late. This is not something that we've seen previously where like you'd have to have like a big lead and just kind of hang on and just make sure you just outlasted the other team. That's not what's happening anymore.
No, and you saw – quote-unquote, the best defensive lineman in the country, the best player in the country come in, and that happened to him. You know, in the actually beautiful weather of Lubbock, Texas that day, which truly was beautiful, certainly compared to Houston, cramping up and basically a non-factor in the second half of that game while your team is rolling strong. And I think that does speak to those guys.
And the defensive lineman going into this game, Brailford and Bundage, I wouldn't say non-existent. I don't remember hearing about them tonight besides just their unit. I mean, they had
one or two sacks, I think.
The defensive line or Brailford?
Oh, I'm not sure. I just remember Bowman going down. I remember him going down once for sure, but I don't.
Yeah.
I switched over to a different screen on the old cell phone, and I haven't gotten back to the box score.
Way to go. So from our own Brian, he says, is the defense back or like Texas is back?
Both?
It means so many things.
Like we've said tonight, that never gets old ever.
Yeah, it doesn't.
I feel better about it. Pass defense showed up kind of out of nowhere. Gave up a couple of big plays, but nothing.
Which they've done a lot. They did a lot more of previously tonight.
Yeah.
What they did tonight was an improvement.
I don't want to just speak to the future completely with every team we're going to face, but the outside receivers and ultimately the inside receivers for Houston were a group that was really going to test you. And I don't know if you'll see that. I mean, you're definitely going to see that against West Virginia and other teams, but that was a group that's really going to tear you up, and you were still depleted by injuries. So I definitely – yes, they stepped up, but I think you also saw – you've seen a tough unit, and now it was a little bit downhill from that side. And really quick to your point, Bundage had four tackles. All of them were solo and one – or two tackles for loss. No sacks, no quarterback hurries. And Brailford, he had one tackle, and the only other thing he did was one QB hurry. So I'd say that's pretty close to a non-factor when your team leader had 14 tackles.
Yeah, and I would agree with you on the Tech defense. I think it's – we don't know. You know, is it back-back or not? It, you know, I think it's still building. We'll see what happens against West Virginia. I mean, we don't know what exactly Oklahoma State is. You know, how over – you know, were they overranked? Were they, you know, overrated coming into this game?
Right.
Probably a little bit. So, Texas Tech defense, not to take anything away from them, they played lights out tonight.
Yep.
You know, you put up the numbers that they put up tonight. That's to me, that's not a fluke. It shows that this is a defensive unit that is still building, can do a lot more, I think, even against a West Virginia.
Yeah. I would also I've been a Texas Tech fan since 2001 when I came to school here, and I don't know that the defense has ever been here. So I don't know when what the back is. I wasn't here for the Spike Dykes era, so I don't know what back would be, but I would certainly say they were something I was happy with tonight.
This might be one of the best I'm same boat as you. When I got here in 01, it's not like it was lights out defense. You know, I'd say this is one of the best defenses we've seen in a while.
I agree.
I've been here since 2012, and yeah, it blows out the water all the other years I've seen.
It's 2007, so I had 2008, 2009 that were pretty good defensive years, but outside of that.
Well, and you're young. You know, your interception leader right now is a true freshman out of Houston. A guy that had not played at all of a sudden two picks in Lamar, and now he's obviously playing some serious minutes and doing some work out there at corner. So I think the future is bright. You've got guys that are building things the way they need to. And recruiting the way they need to, so it's positive.
And this is what happens when you have a defensive coordinator who has actually been here longer than two seasons. I mean, this is what happens. You get that growth,
right?
You all remember when Arizona State was trying to take David Gibbs away from us? And we're like, nope, he's ours. See you later.
And they got Phil Bennett instead.
Yeah.
What a trade-off. Does Gundy have to shave his mullet now?
No. That waterfall needs to stay.
It needs to stay.
Always keep the mullet.
Yeah, it's too but I said this while we were watching the game, and I'll say it here. Gundy, the older he gets, and it's poignant when you watch I'm a Man from 11 years ago, and you see him now, he is going to start looking like a woman as he gets older. It's getting worse.
Now, my question is, did he dye his hair, or is it just he just has no gray hair somehow?
At his age, he's probably
dying. It's got to be. There's got to be some dye involved.
I feel like it's really black for a guy.
I'm wondering if his hair doesn't tell him how to do things, because it is special.
He's listening to it. If it's talking to him, he's listening to it. The other thing about that video, this is the first time I'd seen it in high definition, and it looked like it was shot with a Motorola Razr.
It probably was.
So it was kind of – even with that resolution, when they shot to current Gundy, you thought, yeah, that is a stark contrast.
Maybe Gundy's going to mullet so he can give his hair to Dana Holgorsen.
Oh, it's a donation program.
His quarterback needs hair, so he just shave it
off. Oh, man. Wow. Well, you know,
we should – boom. Mystery solved.
We should just
– wow. We're getting into it here.
Yeah. Gundy's all right.
Yeah.
He's looking out for people, looking out for his players.
He's doing pretty good. So we had a question come in for the preview show about Bowman's throwing motion. The same guy that sent that in replied to himself tonight and says, I don't care what his throw motion is as long as he keeps winning games.
Yeah.
Amen.
So I didn't notice it until tonight. I was like, wow, that looks odd.
I kind of noticed a little bit in high school. That's like this weird like sidearm spinning thing. Like
there were a couple of times when he was throwing it sidearm to avoid some pressure or like a
to get it around a defender
high
a little
by
bit.
His chest is kind of.
But then there were a lot of like just normal throws that, as Michael put it, looked like he was swinging a hammer.
Gosh, I can paint a picture, can I?
You know, I think there's a lot of talk, especially in recruiting, about throwing motions and releases and, man, they get the ball out quick and all that stuff. And I don't think it always matters as much as we think. Like you said, he's winning. He's setting records. He's not throwing the ball to the other team. And there's a guy that I remember from kind of my days. Everybody talked about his throwing motion all the time. He played for NC State, and he is still playing in the NFL. Phillip Rivers. All they talked about was his sidearm, and he would never make it in the NFL, and he'd never make it as a quarterback. His motion was wrong, 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 and now here he is. I don't care if it looks like Bowman's hammering a nail when he throws a football. I mean, he's getting it done, you know?
Yeah, it's been working.
And I think it's great.
So speaking of the Cowboy State podcast that I was on this week, they They reached out and said, things are looking up in Lubbock. Thanks for coming on the pod this week. Our Instacap is not going to be as fun.
We get to do another fun one.
Hashtag guns up, guys.
Hashtag you're welcome.
Adam at Aceman0987, do we want Bama?
No.
We want the still Winnipeg. What's that Canadian football team?
The Alouettes?
I would play the Alouettes. Can we
the
take
Montreal
Manziel?
Alouettes?
Yeah, can we have Manziel? No, I don't want Bama. I don't even want Bama for a quarter.
No. What would the score be after a quarter? Like 35-7 or something?
I don't want to think about it.
I don't like it.
No, and I'm not saying all those are offensive touchdowns. Like, they got to have at least one defensive touchdown, you got to think.
I hate
maybe.
This. Why have you asked this question?
This makes
me uncomfortable.
This is my friend Adam. They're skewering your question, man.
This got really depressing really quick.
All right, Tyler Timmons, how about all the freshmen on the field, both offensively and defensively, making plays?
Tajon Henry is pretty good.
Sir Roderick Thompson is getting better.
Absolutely.
Alan Bowman, you can't.
Got a little Thunder Lightning.
Not talk about him.
Adrian Fry.
Yeah, I was about to say Fry's a freshman, too.
I think he's a redshirt, though. I don't think he's a true freshman.
He's not true. Bowman
he's
is.
False.
Yeah, he's false. He's not true.
He's a liar.
He's not pure. Pure country. Sorry. I don't know where I was going with that.
I mean, so the thing I would take away from that is obviously you're building a really solid foundation and base. And as fun as we're having now, like this team, if it stays together, you know, you're not having like guys transfer out for playing time or whatever it may be. I don't want to.
That made me feel like the NFL, like we won the Super Bowl, we just traded away all our talent. You know?
Well, I'm not saying that we're going to like win the championship and like everybody's going to transfer out, but we've had some attrition issues in the past.
I think the future's bright. I mean, I think you see a lot of good young players, and I think your leaders right now, guys like Dakota Allen, they're doing things to build accountability in this team, and the coaches are as well. And they're doing things to build up the next group behind them. And I think that's – if you want to build a culture of excellence and a culture of winning, that's what you have to do. And it's nice to see some young guys contribute rather than JUCO guys come in and try to fill a hole. I think that's definitely a positive.
Sorry.
What's going on over there, Michael?
Just hanging
something
out.
Made me laugh. There's a guy I follow – Thomas Mooney, who's really into the Texas music scene. I think you know him, Keith, possibly. But
yeah, he does New Slang.
Yeah. And I think he writes for Wide Open Country. But anyway, yes. He posted this gif of Nicolas Cage and Con Air, where his hair's blowing in the wind. And then above it, he writes, what it feels like when Texas Tech football has less than 5 penalties in a game. And it made me laugh out loud.
That's so well played.
Nicely done.
So there's something I want to share, and this is not really the place to do it because it's a picture. So I can show the guys around the table, but you have to look it up. One of the photographers for the Texas Tech athletic department got a shot of the Felton long touchdown.
Oh, yeah, Bowman's just.
Yeah, and he's got it from Felton running towards him. And he's got Bowman in the background.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Bowman just looks like a little kid.
That's greatness.
He's celebrating. So Felton hasn't scored yet, but it's a great image. I think they mentioned on the broadcast that Bowman saw Felton hit the hole and was like, oh, he's gone.
I love that. This was the one. He did get two defenders on him about at the 10-yard line, and he stiff-armed off of them to get a step and continue on for the
I think that was the one touchdown. After the timeout.
Oh, okay.
And there was one where it was more of like sealing the game where he went untouched and it wasn't for as long.
I think that's fun too, just seeing these guys have fun playing football again. And maybe Tex missed that for a little while, but I mean, Bowman's having a great time. He's living the dream. And seeing his teammates respond to him and them get excited. At one point, the camera was cutting back and forth, but we had scored and Bowman turned to the sideline and then like flipped around to run down and celebrate. And I don't know if it was we scored, I need to go have fun now, because he is always business. He's always ready to run that offense. Or maybe a coach looked at him and it was almost to go have fun with your teammates. But I think that seeing those guys have a good time together, I love the handshake in the end zone, by the way.
That's pretty good.
But that's just, you know, that's what this is supposed to be about. And that's the purity of college football that you enjoy. So it's nice seeing them have fun. Because when they're having fun, they're going to be better. And that's a positive, too.
So just a few little things here. This was the first win over a ranked team since Arizona State in the Holiday Bowl.
Oh, he's going to bring up these
2013.
Really depressing stats.
No, these are great.
First win over top 15 team since TCU. And, no, actually, first win over top 15 team since West Virginia in 2012. first ranked win on the road since TCU in 2012, and then the first win over Oklahoma State since 2008.
I have a question.
I have an answer.
I tweet you guys questions, or I did last week, so I'm going to tweet a question in person. So is this win, and you can take this program, team, Cliff Kingsbury, however you want to take it, is this a win that Tech or Cliff or whatever has turned a corner?
I need more proof. I've seen so much weird stuff from this team the past 5 years to be like, yeah, this is it. I still need to see more.
Because pessimism. No, I'm just kidding. Mike, that's an honest answer. It's an honest answer.
There was a point in the game when we were out by 17. We're like, I'm still nervous.
That's because we're Tech fans.
Because we've blown a 17-point lead to this Oklahoma State team before.
I actually, at one point, we were talking about scores from other games, and I muttered to myself, can we watch that game instead? And it was only Oklahoma's first touchdown. So
just the hopelessness was sitting in.
I just didn't know if I was emotionally prepared to go the distance and see what was about to happen.
I'm not quite there. I'm a lot closer than I thought I would be. I picked Oklahoma State to win. I also picked them to cover. I was the guy everyone hated.
To cover and then some. Let's go ahead.
Yeah,
and that
I
in.
Was even thinking the line should have been more like 16 or 16 and a half.
Half
or
just didn't do it for
yeah,
me.
I was like, yeah, let's play a little bit more. I was not really a believer coming into this game. I wouldn't say I'm a believer now or anything, but this was, you know, hindsight, we'll kind of see how much this win actually means based on how Oklahoma State performs throughout. And then I think next week's going to be a really big test that I may have to kind of start chugging the Kool-Aid a little bit faster if we come away with a convincing or any sort of win. I'm not going to shoehorn it and say, well, we have to beat West Virginia by 14 before I can say that this team's pretty good. But I feel like they have turned a corner in what Johns can see in the booth, what he's advising Cliff. Y'all have mentioned a lot of the game management issues we've had in the past. They're really starting to disappear. Clock management was just dominating in this game. So I do think we are turning a corner, but I don't know if we're quite there yet.
So
that's my roundabout non-answer.
It feels ridiculous to say that, like, we would know a lot more about the team 5 weeks in. But I think with the way that the schedule has worked out and with who we've played early on and who they have played, hasn't really set up to really tell you much about this team. Tonight, obviously, a win tells you a whole lot more than a loss does. If you lost tonight, it was more like, well, you were kind of expected to lose this game. You're on the road, true freshman, all that kind of stuff. No, so I wouldn't say no. We've seen a corner turned just yet. Thanks for the help, guys. You're just like all staring off at something else.
Well, yeah,
I'm watching
weird,
Iowa
like,
try a fumble Ruski lateral
but
play.
But no matter what
here.
Happens, the game's over because they're down 11. So I just don't know why they're doing this. Yeah. It's just pointless.
It's a lot of
hold
fun.
On. There's a
yeah.
lot of
and now there's a flag. And
I remember the Cowboys failing at this multiple times over the years.
Like,
so.
Like even if he scores, congrats, you still lose by four. Like, I don't.
Oh, and then he got tackled with people around him.
Like, I don't know what they were doing. It was so confusing.
Sorry.
So, no, I don't think we can say I wouldn't say that there's any kind of definitive evidence that the corner has been turned. I think we were heading in the right direction. I think if you have a similar type of performance, win or a close loss, whatever, you'd be able to tell a lot more about the team, especially if they have a defensive performance that continues on this kind of trend. So does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Is that too realistic?
No, it's
pessimistic?
Your no, it's y'all's opinion.
I would say tonight, absolutely. Tomorrow, when I come back down,
okay, there we go.
Yeah, again, I think it's like Michael, like you said, and others. Let's see what happens against West Virginia. You know, you're going to be facing a possible Heisman candidate quarterback. Let's see how the defense stacks up against that passing attack. Let's see if the offense can. I think the offense is going to continue to perform well. Let's see how they do against West Virginia. I mean, you still have TCU. You still have some very, very good teams in the Big 12. Oklahoma is out there. So I think it's a little too early to say, yeah, Texas Tech has turned that corner. I think it may be a wide turn. You know, maybe they're kind of in the middle of the wide turn is what they're making. There's still room to, like, fall into the ditch.
It's a three-point turn.
Yeah,
it's like a NASCAR. You got that huge loop.
Yeah, they could fall into the ditch maybe still, but at the same time, they could, you know, it's one of those really odd turns. But it's potentially. We'll see what happens.
That's a good way to put it, wide turns.
I'm not all about hyperbole, even if I'm optimistic. I also don't think that this is necessarily an automatic turn to corner, rainbows from here. I do think this is probably the biggest win of the Cliff Kingsbury era. At least, you had year one and all the excitement and then terror of the losing skid and then the bowl game, but you never capitalized. So I'm saying that right now, and if you capitalize on that and make this season something, maybe not special or exceptional, but something positive, especially to build on, I think it could be looked back at a really big one. Yeah.
Biggest win. My only argument would possibly be UT last year because it saved his job, I think. But
he should really be like –
this
like,
was
but they weren't
slipping
back
cash
yet.
Under
no,
the table
right.
to Justice Parker for that.
Texas was still on break. Yeah. They had the sign in the window, be back in 15 minutes.
They'll be back. So one more picture I want to kind of point everybody's attention to. It's from Derek Spencer. He's was an intern. Now he's like a staff photographer. He tweets directly at the Oklahoma State Cowboy football Twitter account. I think I found y'all's new third down photo. So to replace the Gary Busey image, and it's the image from last week's game where they had Cliff coming out of the smoke and he kind of.
Yeah. I know exactly what image you're talking about. Oh, it's the cool one that you're using as the 23
that's
personnel
right,
official
right
avatar.
That may be the greatest photo of Cliff Kingsbury. Is there,
dude, and kind of like
he's scowling.
A bold stance for a staff photographer to take shots at a
gotta
Twitter.
Get your work out there,
yeah,
however it takes.
All right, so we will return Tuesday evening, Wednesday morning for the preview show for West Virginia. I want to thank Michael for obviously hosting all of us.
Yeah,
at the 23 Personnel North.
You're
HQ.
Welcome. It was delightful.
HQ North. All the delicious food. Thanks.
You're very welcome.
And of course, having all of our guests, Chad, Michael, Keith.
Thanks for having me.
I'm glad I brought my pessimist views to all your lives.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. This was cool. This was fun.
Yeah, it's fun.
So for all of us here at the table, thanks for listening to the 23 Personnel Podcast.